Christ Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 24. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. All right, let's take our Bibles this morning, book of Acts, chapter 24. As you go there, you recall we have been in this study for quite some time. Thought we would do well to square things up, and that's just a couple chapters out. We recall also, perhaps, that when we last were together in this book in early December, we noted that this would be what we might call Paul's fourth missionary journey, for this is where he goes to Rome. Everything else was self-motivated and self-generated. But here he is being swept away by virtue of the circumstances of his ministry. There were many enemies afoot. And now he is in custody of the Romans, if you will, in the area of Israel. So when we look at this chapter, we're coming back to a study that is, in fact, something we should have a run in our minds already. So I'm going to start with verse 1. The Bible says, "And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. When he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, 'Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always, and in all things, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness.'" Now, when you read this, of course, you understand that we're looking at a man who is getting ready to go before the judge. Put your mind's eye around that, okay? You've got Felix as the governor. In chapter 23, the captain of the guard, he sends him to Felix because he doesn't know what to do, how to handle this. There's uprisings down in Jerusalem, and now he's brought him to a place up in Samaria where Felix is seated in a governing position. So when you see this time that's before us, we're seeing the outworking of that which that captain of the guard put in motion. What he had done was he was constantly trying to figure out what is going on. Why is this man creating such an uproar? He could never put his finger on it. Every time they would try to figure it out by provoking a little discussion, like letting Paul speak to the people on the steps to figure it out. That didn't work out. The people went into another uproar. When he put a council together and brought the Jews together, again, there was another uproar. It was chronic. It was something that was a real nuisance to this captain of the guard. In those days, they liked to know what was going on, and they couldn't figure it out. And so he finds out about a conspiracy to put Paul to death, and he sends him up to Felix in the area of Samaria. And so as a result of that, we are there now. But this captain of the guard commanded that those leaders back in Jerusalem show up as well to make the case as to why things were going sideways down in Jerusalem. And that would be something that Felix would have to figure out. He even sent a letter of introduction and so forth. And here we are. We're at the occasion. The high priest Ananias is now brought to Caesarea. And as we see it unfolding, they've actually hired a big gun. Yeah, a big gun. You ever heard of that before? People hiring the big guns for the lawyer, right? This guy's an orator, they call him. Not just a lawyer, but an orator. This guy's got words. And if you ever watch the things that happen in our day, you can conclude what's often said, right? The more things change, the more they stay the same. You see it right here before you. And as this orator steps forward, he says to the governor things that were feathering his bonnet, as they say. He was a flatterer. It's in the book of Proverbs. The Bible says, beware of the flatterer. Okay, flattery is something that is a weak man's tool. Somebody who has a weak argument might use the strategy of flattery. Well, Tertullus is an orator. He knows what to do, but he knows how much to do it too, because when he begins to flatter, he keeps it very brief. Now, before I dive into these first couple of verses, just know this. This chapter is going to break up for us in three different ways. First of all, we're going to see Paul's accusation. Then we're going to see Paul's advocacy. And finally, we're going to see Paul's agenda or Paul's accessibility, because it's not for nothing that Paul is where he is. You recall that the Lord made much provision for Paul in that he not only allowed him to know about the conspiracy to put him to death, he also gave him favor in the eyes of certain people, and he was actually put into a very cushy situation for a little while he was held over and being delivered from those who would try to put him to death. It's amazing that even in the difficulties, God shows up for us. Probably a verse that comforts my heart as much as any other in recent days is the passage that says, "Praise be unto God who leads us always into triumph in Christ Jesus." 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he told the people, "Listen, I determined in myself not to come unto you." And they were kind of putting his feet to the fire because he didn't come to the Corinthians. And he said, "I determined with myself that I wouldn't come unto you. Because if I make you sorry, who then is he that makes me glad? So if you're mad at me because I didn't come, it was because I didn't want to bum you out." Okay? Then he says he got a little bit more in distress when Titus didn't come and he left a great open door. A lot of people could have got saved. Paul walked away from it. And he says, "But praise be unto God who always leads us into triumph in Christ Jesus." And that verse is powerful because he said, even though I left that great door and I'm found in another place looking for Titus, there were more people who needed to hear about Jesus. And God opened doors for me there. Do you realize God will open doors for you wherever you are? God is not limited or in any way hamstrung or in any way startled by our changes of course. I think it's important for us to know that. Because many times we feel like maybe we're failures. We have not done enough, or maybe that we fumbled the ball or we blew it with some person that we were trying to witness to because something went sideways. Listen, God is in all the minutiae of every single moment of every single day. And he's just looking for somebody who will just say, "Send me, Lord. Let me be your conduit, your bondservant, your handmaid." Whatever the case is, we need to be mindful that God's moment by moment, just like his mercies are new every morning, his mercies are new every year, his mercies, listen, are new every moment. Tell you what, a day is unto the Lord 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. A day is like 1,000 years. So those moments matter, don't they? Well, as I say, we're looking at a situation where Paul is now standing before a judge and he himself has an agenda even in the midst of his difficulties. He's got chains and bonds, and yet here he is, knowing what he's already learned. God always leads us in triumph. So he's already got his game face on, looking for who is in this room who needs Jesus. I don't know why my guy had his blade break on his snowplow, but I met a new guy this morning. And I'm just thinking as I'm leaving this morning after I've kind of solicited his help and he came down and he did the work, I'm thinking, you know what? Maybe God wants this man to be saved. That's the way I drove away. I'm not there yet with him. Just met him. He was doing me a favor. But think about it. Do you think maybe that guy needs to be saved? Probably. Because the vast majority of the people have never heard a clear word about Jesus, and therefore, we need to always be looking for the triumph. No matter how hard, no matter how difficult, no matter what, God's in the details. Mercies are new every morning, every moment. And so we have Paul in the midst of a viper's nest, if you will. Tertullus is interesting. His name means thrice hardened. So this is the big guns. I think it's fascinating to find these people's names. Sometimes they don't mean much, but sometimes they really do give us something that we could use as a touchstone for edification, right? Thrice hardened. You put that against what we see in Washington in the state houses today. Thrice hardened, arguing for all the wrong things. Open the borders, kill the babies. Legalize every kind of nonsense. It's crazy. How can they stand and speak these things? Because many times, listen, many times they're thrice hardened. By their fruit you shall know them. And in our generation we find that even what we're seeing in the pages of Scripture are playing out in the day-to-day. People are thrice hardened. They can stand up and know that what they're saying is nonsense. They can know that it's against all things decent and good. And yet nevertheless speak as if they are songbirds, because they have eloquence, they're orators many times. And so when we see this begin to unfold, we find it says, "After 5 days, Ananias the high priest did descend down, he with the elders. And they came with a certain orator." They got their big guns. They got their person who would bring forth the accusation. And this man was to inform the governor against Paul. I want you to know, when you think about thrice hardened, there's a lot of trifectas in the Christian life. You know, the Bible talks about the world, the flesh, and the devil. You ever heard of them? Do you know what the devil does? He tempts you. That's what he does. He's doing it every day. He's tempting you. And when you fall prey to the temptation, he runs around and he accuses you. And after he's got you down from being accused, he condemns you. He heaps on the condemnation. You see a trifecta here? What about the world, the flesh, and the devil all arrayed against us? What about us, ourselves, you know, our own self? The Bible says all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. A trifecta. What we're seeing here is this is the man who's thrice hardened. He's got all that going. He's got the world behind him. He's got the devil behind him. And here's lonely Paul. You know, the Bible says he was weak in appearance. He looked like a man who was probably very emaciated from his hard life. His speech was contemptible. He said, I didn't come to you with eloquence of words. He says, I determined this with myself, that I would only know this among you, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He says, you Corinthians, he's talking to earlier. He said, this is how people are talking about Paul. The Corinthians report that. He says, but listen. He says, I'm okay. Because when I'm weak, he's strong. And we're going to see his trifecta toward the end. But we have a trifecta of trifectas against us. The world, the flesh, and the devil all have their game plan. You know, you've got the place of justice, the place of righteousness, religious and political. But then the society that you live in, it's all arrayed against you. If you're going to walk with Jesus, you're going to stand against a whole lot of nonsense. But what I want you to know is that God is going to be with him who is for himself. And when we are standing with him, the Bible says, he who honors me, I will honor. And I want you to know that that's something you need to take away out of the gate. Tertullus, thrice hardened, thrice hardened. This is a man who's going to come with impudence of face, and he's going to come with all his guns blazing. Verse 2 says, and when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse Paul, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Wow, what a guy. We all like to have our praises sung, don't we? We do. Ladies, little heads up. You tell us a little bit of good about us and we're good for a while. We just like to hear somebody who knows us really well telling us we're okay. Because we kind of need it. The world's tough. These trifectas are everywhere. We just need to be told it's okay and you're okay and I like you. And God would have it so. We are to edify one another. Well, this is not edification. This is flattery. And he's telling him things that would make him feel a little bit puffed up. And he piggybacks off of all this by showing great discretion. Verse 4 says, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious. I know you think I'm just, you know, that I'm just flattering you and I don't want to wear you out. I know you've got other things. In fact, this tedious word, it's got like four words put together, has the idea, unless I go too far. You know, and take up too much of your time. So he's just really eloquent. This guy, he's just kind of floating around the room, you know, setting this thing up so that he can make his point. And already he's really hit the mark. And we're only in a couple verses. In verse 4 it says, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldst hear us of thy clemency. A few words. You like peace. You like to do worthy deeds. You got such good foresight. You're going to like what we are presenting to you because we're helping your clemency. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.